It's best to get out, but in certain situations you have no option. You must. For me, I am civil to everybody I come across, but I certainly, most certainly have a plan to kill everybody in this room and make my exit if need be. So just have your plan laid out. Be safe. Be aware. Self-defense is about awareness.
If you were to kill John Wallach, how would you do it? This man right here with the glasses.
A very civil man. You wouldn't want to do that to me. That isn't nice.
I don't know. I'd probably just run through him real quick.
Would you break his glasses?
I'd leave him last.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy, so I'll kill him last.
There you go. Thank you.
.5 to Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. That was when Conor McGregor wasn't too famous to do local radio. But he was in studio and he was a very charming individual. And now he seemed to have lost his mind a little bit. He's got a bit of a messiah complex, I would say.
This is a very strange incident that happened yesterday. So the UFC was going to be in New York this weekend, and the media day was happening where all the different fighters come out, and you get to the podium, and they usually talk trash on each other. So as the big bus that picks up all of the fighters and brings them back to the hotel was about to pull out of the arena, there's a video that's out now of Conor McGregor, who, by the way, did have a credential. Him and some of his buddies, a big group of them, came storming into where the buses were. And as they were about to leave, Conor McGregor runs up and grabs like one of those dollies, like the trucks that picks up, you know, the big metal dollies, hand truck, picks it up and throws it at the front window of the bus, shattering the window of the bus, and glass apparently flew everywhere on the inside and like cut up a bunch of the fighters. And then after that, it didn't stop. He went and grabbed what looks like one of those, like, you know, makeshift metal fences and went to go throw that. And
like
a barrier. And I don't think that actually hit the bus. But since then, several of the fighters on the bus have been injured. Like, one guy got glass in his eye, and three fights for tomorrow night's card have been canceled because of Conor McGregor. Now, I need somebody to call me up and let me know what the background is, why he did this. Because I read a little bit about it. We were trying to get Nick Cattles on, obviously. He's a huge UFC guy at the station.
But then you'd have to get Hardy on the phone, and it would be a whole thing.
What's the deal with Hardy?
You don't know the deal?
With Hardy and Nick Cattles?
Oh, you weren't here for that.
That's
right. He was on vacation.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. They got into it pretty good.
Did they? Oh, okay.
And Nick was doing updates while Hardy was co-hosting.
Oh, was he? Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah. Like, moved into the hall.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, no one touched
Neither
each
of those
other.
Guys, in my opinion, seemed like someone who would do that. Was that kind of shocking?
I get along really well with Cattles, and I'll go out with him socially, but So I don't see him that way, but apparently he's got quite a little trigger of a temper.
Okay, I know that he got in a fight with Adam Jones the other day, but I found that to be very funny. It wasn't let's go into the hall type of situation.
That's like Tuesday for them.
I guess so. So now we're in a situation. And then there's a video, of course, of them running and leaving in this SUV that was waiting outside for him and taking off. Since then, Conor McGregor has been arrested. As a matter of fact, I just was told by somebody that he's waiting to get arraigned right now. He's still in jail. And this is the latest. There's some news that just came out. Apparently, according to the New York, this is from the New York Post. They say that the police department in New York, McGregor has been charged with 3 counts of misdemeanor assault and 1 count criminal mischief. His teammate, I hope I pronounce this correct, Cian Cowley, has been charged with 1 count of misdemeanor assault and 1 count of criminal mischief. Okay, so if you are Dana White, you're in a weird position because Dana White,
because McGregor's not going to spend another minute in jail once he gets arraigned.
Okay,
but you're in a weird position because do you cancel the fight because you're missing, you're missing the 3 big matches? I would imagine.
Well that you're going to be able to. You can't cancel the fight. You're going to be able to fill that in. I think you can do that.
But
I'm talking about with Conor McGregor. What do you do with him?
Because this is great.
This is your goal. Right. And now, okay, so here's Dana White's first reaction. This happened just hours, maybe about an hour after the incident.
Do you want to be in business with Conor McGregor right now? Do you want to chase this guy around for interviews and buy his fights? Do you? Yeah. Oh, I don't think anybody is going to want him right now. No, I think everybody's going to be pretty disgusted with Conor McGregor right now. Listen, you don't like Khabib and you don't like what happened or whatever, then fight Khabib. You can come in here and you can do it legally. This fight's happening Saturday. We could have talked and made the Khabib fight right after. You could do whatever you wanted to Khabib within the limits of the rules of you know, fighting. But you want to grab 30 friends and come down here and do what you did today? It's disgusting. And I don't think anybody is going to be huge Conor McGregor fans after this.
Yeah, he loves
it. I don't know if he's on drugs or what his deal is, you know.
Hell yeah.
But to come and do this and act like this, you know. You're talking about a guy who has a baby.
Okay, so what are you going to do? I mean, you can't. This guy is his golden goose.
No, this is great.
Well, it's
all
great
this
because
is great.
It puts him in a position where you got to do something now.
All right, hang on, Mike. You know what's going on?
Yeah, I'm Mike in Saugus. I'm a big MMA guy. What happened was earlier in the week, Khabib and his team ran up on Artem Lobov. He's a featherweight. He's Conor's teammate. Now, what happened, he was walking down the hall by himself, and Khabib and his team kind of bullied him. Then they got up-close video of him, and him and his team were slapping him around. Conor got wind of this, and that's what happened last night with the backlash. When Conor got there, that's when he bum-rushed the bus with his team, and he smashed the windows and everything. It's all because of retaliation against Khabib Nurmagomedov.
What a dummy. Okay, so
you got to imagine that Dana White loves this, right?
Absolutely, because it's setting up a big fight, because the Ferguson and the Khabib fight just got canceled for the fourth time. So this is setting up Conor, who's the champ, versus Khabib. Khabib was just supposed to fight for an interim title. Now he's fighting for the real one against Conor. If Conor clears everything up, Dana just wants the money. He don't care. He'll probably go bail him out now.
I wonder what the legal ramifications are as far as being able to fight if you have been arrested. Like, I mean, because once again, he's not an American citizen. And it's tough sometimes for
Tyson
guys to get a...
fought after he went to jail for rape.
He did, but he also paid his debt. Like, I mean, he served his jail time.
McGregor's going to get community service.
Oh, you're saying in the interim while he's out on bail, can he fight?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
I think you may have to wait a while until you actually see him get into the ring.
No, I think that you can fight.
Just from the stuff I'm reading. Once again, I'm talking out of my ass except for the stuff that I've read from, like, the New York Times and everything like that. But there is one account of what happened from someone who was actually on the bus. Her name is Felice Herrig, and she's one of the fighters. And she was talking about what it was like to have Conor McGregor and all of his guys run up there and sit right next to the window where the glass was flying.
There's two fighter buses taking us back from Media Day from the Barclays Center. And all I hear is, like, just ruckus, like, yelling and, like big bangs. And it was, like, garbage cans being thrown, like, the railing, like, from, I don't know, because we're in, like, you know, like, the van is in, like, kind of like a little, like, a tunnel type area. And everyone's like, that's Conor and his whole team. And they were just raiding the buses, throwing garbage cans, throwing railings at them. Like, I don't know why, just causing problems, just to cause problems. And to do that to other fighters is kind of like, I'm like, F- you, Conor McGregor. I already didn't like him. And now I just, like, everything he does, I really just can't stand the guy.
Well, that's not nice. We always have time for this. Alex, go ahead.
There are two things that annoy me about the Sports Hub. One is the CBS Sports Minute, but I'm sure you contractually have to do it. I change the dial every single time.
I fight for it. I really like it.
Oh, God almighty, please. It's cringe-inducing. And the other one is, what's the deal with the update guys being the third chair? Okay, you're an update guy. Just do your little 20-minute segment. It is annoying me that John Wallach is promoting himself for tonight's game. Join me and Cedric Maxwell.
I said I will join Cedric Maxwell. Clearly, you weren't paying attention.
No, I don't.
I'm using
it as a platform to get the hell out of here.
I agree.
That's what I'm doing.
I agree, Alex. It is. There is, you know, this smug satisfaction every time he says it.
Yep.
Right. What is it? What is it with the update guys? You are supposed to sit there and do your job. Why are they the third chair or the second chair on a show?
I think it's clear, Alex. It's just to annoy you.
No, you don't like Hardy and Big Jim Murray as well?
No.
Oh,
shut up and give me the stupid updates that I already know. I already got on my app 20 minutes ago. It's the stupid thing. It's not 1985 anymore. I know what the Celtics score is. I have a freaking app. It's the stupidest thing.
Are you behind the wheel?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Good. Try to say.
No, but I Alex,
say, can you save that?
Alex, I agree.
That's to Alex's new intro.
Hang on a second. But I do agree that I'm with you, Alex. Every time he said it, like that he's doing the game with Cedric Maxwell, I just see this smug satisfaction.
Oh, he said it slower than he said everything else, too.
Right.
So just to let it sink in.
Gotta make sure everyone understands.
Don't you think it's odd that he says that?
Not odd. I think it's...
I don't think it's bad.
Why?
It's egotistical.
Whoa.
It's what?
This is the worst thing I've ever said to you?
First of all, I'm not being defensive. I'm asking you a question. Why is it odd?
It's just odd. You're promoting yourself.
It's wildly self-indulgent, and there's no place for that on the show.
Okay, it's disgusting. And what do you think? I like these updates? Come on. I've shaken the walls. Give us more updates.
That's the best. I got a app for that. That's what we're going to call you. You're the app.
Jesus.
Give us the scores app.
Alex, I love you, man. Drive safe.
It's my favorite caller of the year.
Yeah.
So far. Well, actually, there's already somebody who I think blew away everybody.
Well, that's why they call me
Carpenter. Right. This guy's a strong two. I'll give it to you.
Yeah, he's a strong two.
He came with passion. All right, we're going to talk to Mike Gorman in just a moment. He'll be calling the game as well this evening.
He will be, yes.
Here's the CBS, a much more powerful platform television.
He has some surgery that may need to happen, but maybe not this summer, maybe the following summer, or maybe the summer after that. I mean, it's just, but I think that he could probably do it anytime he wanted, but I'm not sure that it's needed at this moment. His body will tell us.
That's right. The body will tell you what to do next. You just got to go with that sweet rhythm.
That was Danny Ainge 4 weeks ago on our show.
And 4 hours before Kyrie Irving was rolled out for the season.
No. That was from 4 weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Talking about the surgery at first, and when it kind of saying it was going to happen eventually. And then it was announced yesterday by the Celtics that Kyrie Irving was going to be out because he had to get a second surgery. There was an infection due to the screws in his knees. And to that I say, Danny could have announced that literally an hour and a half beforehand when he was a guest on our show. And no wonder he was so salty when he was on with us. A little pissed at that. A little angry that he could have broken it on our show. We would have gotten a little bit of a pop.
Yeah, we would have been huge. We would have been superstars. Mike Gorman, you know him. He calls the NBA Boston Celtics games on NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Mr. Mike Gorman.
Yeah, anybody know who's filling into Grandy tonight?
That would be me, Mike.
Don't you think it's smug of him to go, Cedric Maxwell and I will be calling the game. Don't you think that that's a little smug? Like, who needs...
He's just trying to stir up the fan base, that's all. John Wallach fan base. It's a strong coup out there.
The Wall
strong coup?
It's a strong coup, it is.
It's
the Wallaholics.
I don't even know if he knew he said coup.
Walk around carrying their clarinets. They're really good.
Mike brought his A-game with him. I like it.
They have the fake teeth they put in with a big gap in the front.
Right.
You know?
Everybody's doing it.
Everyone whose parents didn't love him enough to get him orthodontist. They're all invited.
So what do you make of yesterday and obviously the crappy news that we ended up getting from the Celtics about Kyrie?
Well, I wasn't surprised, to be honest with you. I just never had good feelings about the whole thing with the knee. It just seemed to be a recurring problem. The infection, I guess, was something that nobody could really have foreseen. They knew that eventually, as Danny had said in that old quote that you guys just ran, that eventually he was going to have those screws taken out of his knee. So I suppose in the long run it's a better thing right now, but in the short term it certainly limits the length of the Celtics season, you would think.
Yeah, what kind of shot do they have? I mean, it doesn't change much of anything for the first round. This is what we were going to get anyway. But, the second round, if you just kind of look at what could be, if like the favorites win, you got the 76ers and you got the Cavs sitting there waiting for you. How much of a shot does a team led by Terry Rozier have against those guys?
Well, I'm not about to sell Brad Stevens short with what he's been able to do with what he's been handed. But I don't think it's any luck that the Celtics get out of the first round. Miami would seem to me to be the team of preference you would want to play. You don't want to play Milwaukee. They have too many guys who can score, and they got one guy who's just going to be a great player and own this league in about 3 or 4 years, and so he can carry a team at least through one playoff series. And with John Wall back in Washington and with the revenge factor for Washington, I don't think you really necessarily want to play them. So if the Celtics draw Miami, I think we can talk about potential second-round matchups. If they draw Milwaukee or they draw Washington, I think they got to focus very strongly on the first round and trying to get out of the first round.
Do you think we've seen Marcus Smart's last game as a Celtic?
I hope not, but Marcus is going to get offered a lot of money in the offseason, and it's going to be up to the Celtics to match it. Again, it depends upon that number. I depend on Scal is really hooked into the ever want to get have numbers thrown at you about how much this guy's going to get and how much that guy's going to get. Scal's right on top of that. I think the number is around 15 to 18 million.
Wow. See, I had heard like 14, but and even 14, that seemed high. And I love Marcus Smart, but.
Yeah, I do too. But you know, it's a fairy tale world these guys live in. You know, they have the money has to be spent. That's the crazy part about it. It's not like owners can say, well, we'll do it, then we keep it. We're not going to give this guy 15 million. They have to spend the money. So it all comes down to the question of timing, and Marcus's timing seems to be pretty good to hit the market.
All right, so now, obviously, with Kyrie out, you know, there's more and more, I guess, people are thinking more and more about what's going to happen in the offseason and how this team next year will hopefully be healthy, and you know, with Hayward back, they have a shot. It also gets people talking about what's happening with Kawhi Leonard, and I know Tommy Heinsohn is obviously wildly against, we played the clip yesterday, any trade involving Jason Tatum. I think
he's also against movies with color.
Yeah, he does like the old school movies. But are you, as if you had to package up some sort of deal that involved Jason Tatum to get Kawhi Leonard, is that a deal that you pull off, Mike Gorman?
No, I would not. I would not. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but there's something not right about that whole situation in San Antonio with Kawhi Leonard. And so I would not want to get involved in that, number one. But number two, Jason is a big-time talent. I mean, he's shown that. He's the only guy who's played in every single game for the Celtics this year. He gets better by the week. He still has some things that will, everybody around the league that I talk to says that it's going to be frightening how good he'll be in his second year. It's just that kind of adjustment these guys make in the offseason after a rookie season, that they fully digest the fact that they belong in this league and can compete in this league and can compete at a high level in this league. And we're talking about a kid who just turned 20 years old. That would be giving away the farm. I'm not as radical as Tom, maybe, but I would. If there's such a thing as an untouchable in today's game, Jason Tatum is untouchable as far as I'm concerned.
Now, when you say something's going on with Kawhi, do you think physically or mentally?
Well, I think a combination of both. It just doesn't seem to have worked out. I mean, we're talking about the best guy. I mean, if you were to ask me who the two best coaches in the league were right now, I would say that Greg Popovich is number one and Brad is 1A. But, you know, guys go to San Antonio, they have their careers revitalized, guys love playing down there. In the atmosphere, that the only game in town, they're worshipped in San Antonio. They got a great coach to play for, and yet somehow this whole situation with Kawhi Leonard has gone south, it would appear. So, you know, when something goes south in an atmosphere that usually players thrive in, it makes you wonder. And I hope Kawhi Leonard comes back and is Kawhi Leonard, but I'm not giving Jason Tatum up for Kawhi Leonard.
All right, so do you think that, as far as people in the offseason that are rumored the Celtics would be interested in, the Anthony Davis thing isn't going to go away, obviously. Do you think that if they don't make the playoffs, seeing that the West is so log-jammed to get in, if for some reason the Pelicans don't make the cut, do you believe that that makes the chances greater that Anthony Davis would want to be traded?
You know, I would have thought so. I made that same argument to people I talked to in New Orleans when we were there, and they are absolutely convinced that the kid is serious when he says he wants to stay here and he wants to win there. You know, and guys around the league, I mean, I've been going around the league long enough that I have enough relationships with guys who will tell me the truth, and the guys that I've known for a long time in New Orleans say, Mike, it's not going to happen. He's not going to leave. So I got to go off that and think that he isn't. Anthony Davis is probably the number one player in the league that would make me consider trading anybody to get. He's that good.
Oh, I mean, he's, you know, it's funny when people talk about MVP this year. I know LeBron was advocating for, well, who else? Himself. But to that I say, you look at the numbers. I mean, look what Anthony Davis has been able to do with nobody around him. Since DeMarcus Cousins has been out, I mean, who's the second best player on that team? Is it Rondo? when you take a look at that lineup, and so you've got Kevin Love.
Holiday's a pretty good player.
Holiday's pretty good too. But I mean, but you take a look. Don't you think that what Anthony Davis has been able to do is way more impressive than what not way more, but it's more impressive than what LeBron has done this year?
I would say so by a nose. But yes, I agree. Anthony Davis is again, he's a special player, and he's young enough that you could consider trading a Jason Tatum or some sort of package that involved Jason for him. But he might be the only guy in the league that I would even consider that.
And that's another reason I don't know if I'm for any kind of Kawhi trade. I just think you do that, and obviously it gets you out of any kind of situation where Anthony Davis would be traded. And I heard him talking about Kevin Garnett this for the first time. He said, you know, Kevin Garnett told me that he wished he would have been gone to the Celtics earlier. You don't waste your youth. And I thought that was the first moment I thought that maybe there was a shot. And I don't want, even if there is a small percentage that you could get him, to waste it on Kawhi Leonard.
Well, waste is a strong word, but yeah, I agree with you in theory. I do. I just would not do that with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard is what, 24, 25, 26 years old, right in that neighborhood. I think Jason Tatum in 4 years is going to be a better player than Kawhi Leonard is right now.
Whoa. Mike, you are too hard on these Celtics players, I'll tell you.
High praise.
Well, I'm talking four or five years out, but yeah.
Four or 5 years out, who even knows if this planet's still around? You got to live for today, baby.
Get all in tomorrow.
You got to live for today.
Who even knows if this planet is still around?
Come on.
What kind of morning it's been?
You have the same kind of roid rage as my Gregor had there. What do you
have? No, it's not a rage. It's
looking fresh.
It's called his outlook.
Hey, I'm muscular. All right. Well,
I need to go out in the parking lot and throw chairs at your car as you drive off.
I throw chairs in my own car. Well, listen, Mike, are you going to go say hello to John at the game today?
Of course, John and I always talk.
Okay. Yep.
I'm part of that fan base.
You know, he wouldn't go to the baseball game yesterday because he had to study for tonight's game.
John's good, guys. John's
oh, yeah.
Good.
He does a good job, and the listeners seem to like him, but I just think he's a little full of himself this morning. I mean,
for a third-string radio guy, you know.
Wow.
He comes in. All right. Mike Gorman, it's always a pleasure, sir. We all have to get lunch soon. Okay.
And next week we'll get into the CBS Sports Minute. That's
we'll do that.
Well, just hang on to your seat because one's coming. All right, thank you.
I got to be up at the close here because I heard you at the end of last week. You said I'm always down at the end of these interviews.
Yeah, you sound like I tell a knee slapper, and you're just like, all right, bye.
All right, guys, really looking forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, bye, Mike Gorman.
I see you, man.
All right, there is an interesting question coming on why and how did this happen. A pregame ceremony went awry in Seattle.
Oh.
Monty, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys, I mean, John Wallach is the hardest working man in show business. The guy flies to Seattle, lands on James Paxton, and then he comes all the way back here to do the game tonight. Why do you guys have to hate on him so much?
Yeah, damn it. He's probably pretty tuckered out. But I'll tell you what, he went to that handler. I mean, he's got a brain in his head.
Where did the bald eagle come from? Like, was that just a wild bald eagle?
No, it was supposed to be a flyover. A guy came in with the eagle with the glove, and the eagle missed. He came down and landed next to James Paxton.
John knows all the details.
Yeah. Birds of a feather.
It's John Wallach.
He'd come and... Well, that call came on during the Gorman interview, and I couldn't stop.
Is
laughing.
That what you were pointing at? You're like, oh, we gotta take this one.
All right, like, John, leave me alone.
Sorry,
getting so feisty, big feisty guy. All right,
it's T&R, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, you doing it?
Yo, check. Tickety check it, brought the soul back to the home team. Motown, why can't you see my team is supreme? Diana, welcome to the solar system where the force is you. Running in the
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. So, Rich.
Real quick, before you get into this, I can't believe we forgot to do something. We got to do headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics announced yesterday Kyrie Irving out for the season. He needs another surgery on his left knee and is out 4 to 5 months. Celtics play Chicago at TD Garden tonight. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. We'll tip off at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. I'm John Wallach at Boston's home for sports. I'll join Cedric Maxwell for this one. We'll have the pregame at 7. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
There you go.
Where are all the sound effects?
I know that we've learned something. Apparently, you're going to be joining Cedric Maxwell tonight.
Yes.
Doing the play-by-play.
Doing the play-by-play. He's kind enough to grace us with his his appearance today. All right, so we went with Zolak. Rich and I went with Zolak and Mike Thomas, our boss, and the wonderful people at Beasley who have been very kind to us. And I know I come off sarcastic, but they have. They've been nothing but nice to us. And you walk around with Zolak. And
you're an opening day. Yeah, we did
before opening the game. Day, right. But before that, we went to the live broadcast at Lucky Strike. Now, if you recall, there's a girl, Nora, that came in for the Worse Off Than Brady contest, which she did not win. But our listeners went, like, insane. So the next time she came in, she had broken up with her boyfriend.
She was here for Town and Jeopardy, right.
And then, but by then, she had broken I'm not getting the timeline wrong, right? For when she came in for Town and Jeopardy, they had broken up.
That sounds right. Because okay, the first time she came here, she was with her boyfriend. Right.
Okay. So the guy's standing up, I guess, but for standing up for his friend. But one of her ex-boyfriend's friends came up to me and was like, he wasn't being like wanting to fight or anything, but he was saying how basically I was somewhat responsible for the two of them. I, Fred Tutcher.
And not her not being on the show, it was you?
I think it's, okay. Anyway, it being on the show. I am going to show you, we follow each other on Instagram. Here are the DMs I've had with her. And you tell me if there's anything remotely flirtatious about, I don't even know how to erase things on Instagram. Tell me if there's anything remotely flirtatious on that thing.
No. No. She was just, the only thing that I see on here is that you had mentioned that she said she wanted to go to Cuts for a Cause.
Right.
And she goes, hey, how can I get in? You'd mentioned I got some tickets. And you said, we'll have them at the door. They'll have your name. And that's the extent of it.
And remember, I asked you in the meeting, I'm like, do you think that we should give her tickets? And everyone was kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
How is it not Wallach's fault? Not your, how, what did I do? I have nothing to do with anything.
Did he say it was something that you said on the air?
No, I think it was us putting her on the air, which basically was saying she was worse off than Tom Brady. She's pulling nips out of her purse. I mean, she seems like a nice enough girl. I mean, she went to the ping pong thing, but I didn't have any contact with her at that ping pong thing.
Yeah, we were really busy. I saw her,
and I said hello.
I might not have even seen her.
Yeah. But why is it, what about me specifically raising the ire?
But you told me that they had you do something, right?
Oh, yeah, the guy's
and by
like,
the way, the boyfriend, I liked the guy when he was in. We
put him on the air!
Yeah, he was a nice guy. So what's the deal?
So he asked me,
was legitimately kind of pissed at you because he was sticking up for his buddy.
I couldn't figure out if he was pissed at me. Because at first he's like, hey, would you mind? Because we go out and people want to take pictures with us, which is fine. It's good. It's nice feeling. And so I thought it was basically like, hey, can you take a picture with me?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, would you just mind shooting my friend a video? And I'm like, okay, hey, I got nothing to do with you breaking up with your girlfriend.
No. So you say, I want you to talk to the boyfriend that she broke up with and say, sorry for...
I don't even know what he wanted, Rich. I mean, I don't know what he wanted.
Okay. Well, that is...
But I want to know...
Did you say...
In all your opinions, I've proven to Rich.
Okay.
I don't have her email address. I don't have her telephone number.
Right.
I have nothing. I've shown him every communication that we had. And there is nothing there. I want to know how me in particular, I didn't even book her for the thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. Nick, Mike, Dan in the other room. Did Fred at any point say anything that insinuated that she was too good for him or anything along those lines? Was there ever anything like that? Because I'm thinking that's like the only thing that maybe someone might have heard or she might have heard.
Before she came in here.
I don't know.
We
joked
about how he had her name tattooed on him and she only got the EKG. That was something that we joked about.
Oh, you're saying it seems like there's commitment only on one side.
It was her comment on that tattoo that said, not into, you know, the full-on commitment. That is a strong commitment, I think, is what she said.
Yeah. That getting the name would be a strong commitment.
Okay.
But don't you think it's odd that it was me?
The only thing I can think of, Fred, is maybe she has feelings for you that she expressed to him.
I'm sure.
I'm sure.
I'm such a matinee idol.
I'm thinking maybe she wants a little of the tea.
I can assure you that that girls are not at all interested in me.
Oh.
And she even said when she was in here, after she had broken up, we said, what guy at the station would you want? She said Jim Murray.
Oh, that's a good point.
Weren't they together for like 10 years or something?
It was a long time.
It sucks. I'm sure the guy's brokenhearted.
No. I'm just thinking of how much of a wreck someone could be when that happens.
Absolutely. It's happened to me. I remember when a girl broke up with me in college. I'd been dating for 2 years. I cried like a baby.
Did you ever go like and confront the guy that she ended up being with?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
The whole thing.
Wait, the guy she ended up being with?
Yeah.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Like if she left me for another guy, that's completely another thing.
Okay.
I wouldn't say something to a radio DJ.
What if there was a guy that you believed actually broke you two up?
How the
hell? Would you confront them? I'm not saying it happened. I'm saying if you believed it.
Say
it
on the show. Uh-huh. That being on the show is somehow, in some perverse way, got her to break up with her boyfriend. Why particularly me? You were here.
Yeah.
John was here.
It would have to have been something you said on the air. And that's the only thing I can think. And I don't know what it would have been and what would have stuck with him that was the case.
It's exceptionally bizarre behavior to send a friend to do this.
He didn't send him.
He just happened to be there.
I thought he just happened to be there.
No, he came up to Fred. Mistake.
No, and all the guy wasn't being a jerk or anything.
Okay.
It was just
a weird situation to be in. Say, hey, by the way, you're responsible for my best friend breaking up with his girlfriend in 10 years.
Yeah.
What do you do?
All right, John, go ahead.
I think there's a clear pattern. Every time a woman comes into the studio, you guys mentioned you don't usually have girls in the studio, but, you know, it started with Becky Lynch and maybe now Nora. I think they're all just attracted to the team.
Well, I can't help the animal magnetism.
That might be it.
I can't help the animal magnetism. I mean, there's nothing I can do about that. I want to have Becky Lynch back in the studio, see if I can't get her all worked up again. But I just wanted to share that with you guys.
I don't understand it. I don't understand any of it.
Guys, okay, we're already getting tweets to Nora that just say, sup.
They're not for
Fred,
me.
Yeah, this is all, Fred, this is, you caused all of it.
Can we get Nora on the phone? And I can just ask her.
I'd rather have the boyfriend on the phone. Because he's the one who thinks that you broke them up. I'd rather get him on.
I don't know.
Although every time we have a girl on, people go nuts.
Yeah, so let's have her on the phone. It's funny because we had another bit set up for her now, and I don't even know if we should do it. All right, do you have her number? We don't even have her number.
I think we might.
Okay.
When she was a contestant, I think she sent it to us.
Right.
Yep. All right. We have it.
Okay, let's call her during the break. I want to know exactly what I said. What I've done, I've had no contact with her at all outside of the two times she's been on the air.
That would be something that would hang with me, knowing that there was someone who was mad because they thought I was the reason that their girlfriend of 10 years broke up with them. Like, that would kind of freak me out a little bit.
Mike, go ahead.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Fred, you have to accept that you're just a hateable person and deal with it, and people need someone to blame. It's like wrestling. You know, the Iron Sheik was always hateable, and he did well at that job. So just embrace the hate people have to you and use that to your advantage in life. That's how some people are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not a matinee idol. All right, let's take a break. Okay. I'm interested in her take on this whole thing. We'll be right back.
Tucker and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Nora, who has been on the show twice, after the first appearance, I guess her and her boyfriend broke up. And then yesterday at Lucky Strike, one of her ex-boyfriend's friends came up to me insinuating that I was partially responsible for all this happening and had me record a video.
An apology video?
Not really. Just
what did you say?
I said I didn't do anything. I said I didn't do anything. Nor,
if he's listening, could you send us that video? I would like to see it.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. I was sober when I did it.
No, nothing sober. Just like, what do you, it's, you're, I want to hear what you say when someone, immediately when someone comes up to you, says, record this for a guy who just, you broke up a 10-year relationship.
All right, Nora, whose number I didn't have. Hello, Nora.
Hey.
Explain to me why people think that I'm responsible for you and your boyfriend breaking up.
I mean, I honestly don't know. This is news to me.
All right. Have I had any contact? Have I slid into your DMs? Have I had any contact with you? Flirtatious contact?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like this came from when you guys had me on just on the phone, and, like, it was right after my boyfriend and I had broken up and blah, 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 and people were hitting him up being like, oh, they're talking smack about you on air.
Don't talk smack.
Okay. I know, and that's what I said. I was like, no one said anything about you.
Because I specifically remember that break and thinking, because I liked him. Like, he was a nice guy when he was in here, and there was no reason to talk trash on him. It was more about what you were looking for. Has he contacted you after that, saying that we thought we were being disrespectful?
Yeah.
What?
He was like, you went on air all thirsty. So I was like, oh, okay.
Thirsty?
Yeah, clearly.
Okay, so either way, okay, well, that's where it comes from. He thinks that we ripped on him during that. Well, you know what? That wasn't me. That was Fred. I specifically remember it all being Fred.
All right.
You made fun of his tattoo. That was about it.
Well, Not me. I actually liked his tattoos. He's got the Nintendo guys and everything, all the Super Smash Brothers.
What cool tattoos are you stepping out of the way of at the moment here?
I don't. I'm just speaking truth. I'm not trying to avoid somebody waiting for me in the parking lot. I am speaking honestly.
All right. Well, I just wanted to prove to the men on this show that we have had no contact whatsoever. I saw you. How long did I see you at the paddles thing?
Literally like 2 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
It was like a high-buy situation.
All right. Well, listen, we have a something we want you to come in for again. But
okay.
We can talk about that later. Thank you, Nora. I appreciate it.
Yep. No problem.
All right.